On Monday, after our luncheon for our service for the week of prayer for Christian unity, David, Shia, and I were standing in line waiting for the soup, and he said, "This cold is starting to get to me." I said, "Yeah, it's been cold for a while, hasn't it?" He said, "No, silly. I mean this cold that I've had for a while. The weather's been great." Wednesday morning, Bob Dunn called Rod Underall and said, "Come down to the church and take a few pictures of the bell for the website." Rod said to Laura, "I'm getting my steel-toed boots on. Bob wants me to help move the bell." Both classic examples of interpretation in action. The first one, mistaken interpretation. The word's a bit ambiguous, but still, we were indoors when he said it. I should have got it. The second, a great piece of interpretation. The words appearing to say one thing, but reading between the lines, the understanding was implicit. An axiom that is as true now as ever is simply that no matter what anyone says, however clear or however self-evident it seems, no matter what anyone writes, no matter how clear it seems that writing is, interpretation is inevitable. To refuse to interpret is already to interpret. To choose to interpret is not to guarantee that you'll get it right. God has created us to interpret, to learn through the give and take of questions leading to insight, to mistakes leading us to rethink, to reread, and then more interpretation, more insight, and on we go. Interpretation presumes at least two, a speaker and a listener, a writer and a reader. It speaks to the fact that we are created not in our own individual silos, but for relationships. Poor interpretation can lead to all manner of falsehoods, to all manner of disasters. Think of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, where Romeo kills himself because someone not in the know, or misinterpreting the plan, if you will, tells Romeo that Juliet is dead. Think of how horribly European politicians, with the exception of Churchill, who was a lone, not listened to voice, interpreted Hitler's actions in the 1930s. Wise interpretation, however, can lead us into truth. In this season, we have to say, towards an epiphany that changes us or even a society for the better. I think of Martin Luther King Jr., whose wise interpretation of Kennedy's veiled words allowed him to stick fast to his plan of nonviolent action and so secure the passage of civil rights under Johnson. Good interpretation can make for a just society. Interpretation of what allows a community to genuinely reflect God's will in the world is a matter of reading the scriptures together and using our reason, looking at what the great tradition has taught us, and thinking carefully about our present day experience. When it comes to discernment, it's also a matter of prayer and the Spirit, of taking a risk, taking the plunge, if you will, risking an interpretation. Ezra and his colleagues read the law and gave the sense, as our passage says. They explained it. They interpreted it. creating not only a new society, but in some ways setting the stage for the development of Judaism over the next 2,400 years to the present day. Jesus stood up in a Jewish synagogue and, led by the Spirit, took the ultimate plunge. Today, these scriptures have been fulfilled in your hearing. Now there's interpretation with an edge. If Ezra's interpretation caused weeping and celebration, Jesus' interpretation produced both antagonism and loyalty. Both created and defined community. Both put forward a vision of God, of what God is like, and what it means to live in God's community. From both, we learn that God breaks into our status quo. We're not the only ones interpreting. God is interpreting the divine character to us. And we both like what we hear and we don't like it. Thus, the reaction to Jesus. It upsets the status quo, not only of our social milieu, but internally. The apple cart of our carefully constructed religion and previous understanding, needing a tweak at least. But here's the upshot for us today. Now in Christ's body, the church, we are Christ to each other. Or, as Paul says it, parts of Christ, so that when we take the risk to be with each other in integrity, not perfection at all, but integrity, we find that God is again interpreting the divine character, the divine plan, love that is at the heart of God to us. And we're called to interpret Christ to each other and to the world. It's crazy to say it, but the task of our community is always to move towards being able to say, because of Christ's presence here in our midst today, a surprising presence, mind you, these scriptures are being fulfilled in and through the life of this community. In a small way that will only continue to grow, I believe this to be true about St. Matthew, or I wouldn't be here as your priest. There's no other reason, really, to be a community of faith. Today, I want to do something a little bit different in order to demonstrate this reality that may at first seem sad, but will, I think, spur us on to risk relying on the Spirit and taking the plunge of interpretation again and again. Today we're saying goodbye to David Dirksen and to the Poyu family, Keith, Taya, Babs, and Christian. David is moving to Atlanta to take a job with Delta Airlines. Got that right? And Keith, Taya, Christian, and Babs are moving to Kelowna for a variety of reasons. And we want to bless them for what for they've been a very important part of our spiritual community over the last couple of years. And I've asked David, Taya, and Keith to come forward and share a bit about how Christ has been interpreted to them here. I've got a couple of questions for them. So if you guys could come forward, and if I could have that mic, Bob, that's there. Actually, we'll just do a handheld. So I've got some questions for you guys, and I want to also record this. So I'm going to hold this little recorder while you speak. So, now you're going to speak right into that, aren't you?
I'll try it, yeah.
David, what brought you to St. Matthew?
Well, When I was looking for a church home, it was told to me that St. Matthew would be an accepting and inclusive place where Christians and seekers of all stripes and colors would be welcomed here. And when I came here, that's exactly what I found. People were inviting, they were welcoming. It was a family, and I felt like I was welcome to be part of it. And that's very, very profound. So thank you.
Thank you. So what are some of your the highlights of your time here?
Well, most of the excellent memories that I have here at St. Matthew are connected to being in community. So whether it was enjoying potlucks, or at our AGM, I think we also had a meal as well. Or when, for example, the Maryland State Boy Choir was here, that was a pretty excellent evening of music. And everything from Ash Wednesday to our work bees, it was nice to work alongside everyone.
Wonderful. Do you have any additional things you want to say?
I guess I would just like to say thank you. Thank you for being my family when I was looking for one. And thank you for accepting me with open arms. That it comes from a place of love inside each and every one of you. So thank you for being you.
Thank you, David. Taya.
Okay. What he said.
So as a person newly baptized into the body of Christ, and that was a real highlight for us a couple of weeks ago, how has being involved at St. Matthew encouraged you to keep spiritually exploring?
Okay, well, I think with respect to the baptism, I just wanted to say that it was really important for me to be baptized here in this community. I waited a long time, and I felt so at home here with you and with everybody that there's no one else I wanted to share that with.
Wonderful.
And then with respect to still exploring, I think we have to find a new church community. So, you know, there's a couple of Anglican churches in Kelowna, and you know, we've talked about what that process is going to look like, and every time we think about it, we're like, okay, we're going to walk in and it's going to feel like St. Matthew's. But I think we're going to be patient and not maybe expect that right away, and just see what feels right. You know, I think we've been part of a couple of different communities, and this certainly is a standout in terms of how I think how real everybody is. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Taya.
You're welcome.
So, Keith, as a cradle Anglican, what have you experienced as unique and encouraging here at St. Matthew?
I think St. Matthew is very much a part of what I've seen in my life as an Anglican, Church of England, and all of this, and it wraps it all together. And the thing that stands out is not only the ministry, but the incredible friendliness of the people here. And we've been to a number of different Anglican churches, and I have been more because I'm a lot older than Taya, but this is a very, somebody should say this church, St. Matthew's, is special, because it is truly special.
Thank you. Do you have any additional words or maybe even advice for us as we attempt to grow and build this community?
I think you have the people in the places in this church that will make it what it should be, and a place of not just worship, but a place of friendship. And I think it has everything going for it. We really wish we could take all of you in the church to Kelowna, but not really practical. But, you know, for the years that we've been around and we've been around a lot of churches. This has been a pleasure and really special. And if you think you're going to see the back of us, that's not the case. We will certainly spend our time and find time to come here because we want to do that. And there's so much about the church which is special. We have a number of ministers in the church, so much experience in the church, and I think for newcomers, that's very important. And I'd like to thank everybody and Alan for being so kind to us, and thank you.
Hey, did you want to say something else?
Yeah, I think, how do you interpret growth, right? Like, in a way, with us leaving, it might feel like you're losing something, right? Or we feel like
we're losing. Well, we
are. Maybe on every Sunday. But for me, I think there's also an opportunity for growth where we go. That all the little seeds that you planted are just, it's just a different garden.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any last words from anyone? Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, thanks for your sharing. It's not only been that we've interpreted Christ to you, but you've interpreted Christ to us. David, your willingness to join with us was and is courageous. There's not many people your age around. Good job. The reasons for you being here are heartening to me, given the rift that happened in this community over the last decade. You have shared your artistic gifts, the new logo that some of you see on our website was designed by David, am I right? And your friend, wonderful. You've helped paint part of this place, and you've helped me by critiquing my sermons. Good job. Taya and Keith, you have blessed us with your kindness, your generosity, and your organizational abilities. All, if you'll recall the reading, the second reading that Linda read so expertly, all gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Easter egg hunt for families that was at your place was a real highlight, and you helped organize our hamper drive this last year. Thank you so much. And Taya, you've attempted to help us with marketing. We'll get it yet. I'm sure we will. So thank you. And we pray that wherever you end up worshiping, that you find a church where you're able to know and serve Christ in and through people, taking your place in this dynamic living organism that is Christ in the world, the church. Amen.